Hi, I'm Greg Mangum, founder and CEO at Only a Pavement Away. We're a charity that supports people looking to rebuild their lives through employment opportunities in hospitality. Today, Only a Pavement Away has placed 707 people into work and in approximately 27 million back into the economy and society. This is on top of the 2,500 people we've helped through workshops, recruitment fairs, and helping them prepare themselves for work if they go into other industries as well. This is our podcast series, Serving Success, where we explore how this amazing industry is truly driving change, supporting people to rebuild their lives and adding real value back into their communities. Each month, we catch up with inspiring leaders who have put people and purpose at the forefront of their businesses. So without further ado, and I'm going to say a few things about this lady, I'm delighted to introduce this month's guest, Janine Pretorius, Group Director of People and Culture at the Wolseley Hospitality Group, a family of individual restaurants whose ethos is focused around creating places where people feel they belong. So naturally a very strong partner for Only a Pavement Away. I think it's worth letting all the listeners know, though, Janine, that we must have met about four and a half years ago.
6 years, Greg.
6 years, God, yeah. And we talked about cook and dine. And I say this to everyone. I arranged to meet Janine and said, we've got this idea, cook and dine, to have industry people serving industry people, and I need to buy your coffee. And then I thought at the end of the conversation, yeah, Janine's on board, so I thought this is an ideal time to go and leave the bill. So that's how our friendship struck up. I have to say as well, I'm extremely proud, and my wife Jill feels the same, that Janine is a friend of ours and has done so much to make cook and dine what it is. And the rumour I put about last year that the waiters all call you Scary Mary with just a bit of a laugh, really. So you can ask me any questions or chip in. But I think, firstly, can you talk us through your role as Director of People and Culture at the Wolseley Hospitality Group? And this must be the first time I've got your job title right in the 6 years.
Great, well done. So I oversee the people function within the Wolseley Hospitality Group. So really, I focus on the strategic people-centric culture we try to install within the business. And that will include everything from recruitment, training, and the day-to-day, anything people-related, really.
Right, okay. What are the core values at the business?
So I think you mentioned it already. One of our biggest core values are creating places where people feel they belong. And that can be anything from the guest that comes through our doors or the people that works for us. So we are very committed to deliver exceptional hospitality experiences through a very people-centric culture and really delivering hospitality from the heart.
And I know when I've come to the venues, it's great. And I think that delivering from the heart was shown when we're going to talk about a guy called Julian in a minute. That, and he doesn't mind this being said, that when Julian got married for his reception, he invited you and I, a lady called Laura Madams, and Johanna Wimmer, who also heads up Cook and Dine with you as well. And I remember that when we got there, for someone who'd had found himself homeless, was now a sous chef at the Wolseley, to actually have someone lay on some champagne for his wedding breakfast just proved the values that you personally and the Wolseley hold so dear.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about a few of these people, because what people, if they don't know you, is that you've been with us since the very beginning, 2018, 2019. You were at the Ivy, Chief People Officer at the Ivy.
Correct.
Got that one right, yeah. That's one in the bag. And it's not just the company that keeps the values, it's the individual. And we, as Only a Pavement Away, often find that if we've got people like yourself who move around and go to different companies, then that value goes with them. So I think the three people, if we could talk about, and you could just give the listeners a brief idea of, is Julian, who is now with you as a sous chef.
Yep.
Paul, who is still at the Ivy, and again, he doesn't mind this being said, who suffered some mental health issues and became rough sleeping. And Helen, who's a concierge and has been at the Wolseley. So a little bit of background for the listeners on Julian.
So Julian was actually the first ever employee we recruited through Only a Pavement Away. And I still remembered his first week he was working for us. We had a breakfast with some of the directors and loads of kitchen porters. So he was recruited as a kitchen porter. And I remember him telling me, I'm going to be a head chef for you one day. And that stuck to me till today, because he did progress his career. He was determined. He was back on his feet. He did find himself homeless, and that's how he came to work with us. And through his support worker, they recommended he comes into hospitality. And he started as a kitchen porter at the Ivy St. John's Wood. From there, he progressed to a commis chef. He then moved to another Ivy venue, the Ivy in Victoria, as a CDP, a chef de partie. And then he sort of wanted a little bit of a change, and then he moved to one of the sister company, Caprice Holdings, at Scott's Restaurant, where he progressed all the way to junior sous chef. I, in the meantime, then moved on to the Wolseley Hospitality Group, and he called me one day and said, do you have anything available? I feel it's time for a change after 4 or 5 years with the Ivy. And I arranged for him to meet the head chef at the Wolseley. And yep, he's still there today working as a junior sous chef. So still on his career trajectory to being that head chef one day.
Yeah, which is what he wants to be. And he says in the video where with him. And obviously he's married now. And that must have been 18 months ago we went.
Yeah, just over a year. And I think that's testament to somebody that's rebuilt his life, reintegrated community, obviously found the love of his life, got married, and yeah, in a very good place at the moment.
Yeah, that was excellent. And Paul Hannaford.
Yeah. So Paul is a little bit older, and he also found himself homeless. He joined us at the Ivy Asia in Chelsea as a goods receiver. So that's receiving all the deliveries, putting them away. He loves his job. He's always got a smile on his face. Everybody in the kitchen really loved him. But he was separated from his family. In the time he worked with us at the Ivy at the time, he became a grandfather, and we helped him get in his first place, so he was back on his feet, and we printed photos of his granddaughter and put on a wall. But you're right, he's a lovely character, and yeah, really great guy to speak to.
Yeah, he is. He's a great advert for us, isn't he? You know, if you're in trouble and you want a further career, talk to Janine and talk to Anya Pavement Away. That's what he says to me every time. And then we come to the inimitable Helen, who. And again, you know, people just need to meet Helen. She's
a force to be reckoned with.
Yes,
she's
indeed, yeah, yeah.
So Helen's story, she was a nurse in the army, in the Queen Victoria Army. And she also obviously moved back to London in her later years, sort of 60 years old, found herself homeless as well. She was actually in the employment programme with House of St Barnabas. And through Only Paving Away, obviously got the position as door person at the Wolseley. And she soon became the face of the Wolseley, really. So I guess her background in the army also made her perfect for the role. But I remember one day, one of our chefs went in a black cab in London, and the cab driver asked him, where do you work? And he said, oh, the Wolseley. And he said, oh, is Helen still there?
Yeah.
So she's even known to the black cab drivers of London. But not even that, the way she integrated into the Mayfair community where the Wolseley is situated. Last year, she was nominated for Door Person of the Year. She was a finalist. And this year, she's won it. So that is how a prominent figure she's become in the community around the Wolseley.
Yeah, I know. She's done us all so proud as well. So Janine, we've heard about three incredible stories: Helen, Paul, Julian. Has that inspired any changes in how you approach recruitment or team support?
Yes, I mean, I think for me, stories like Helen's and Julian, and what you do at Only a Pavement Away, it really embodies the power of hope, opportunity, community. When you get to work with people as they rebuild their lives, it's an incredibly humbling experience. And having people like these within your wider team, your whole team get involved. And that's really how you can successfully integrate individuals from the charity or from other charities. So we work with loads of other charities as well. And that's sort of off the back of the work we've done with Only Paving the Way. And that really helps drive a more diverse workforce.
And it's interesting you say you've worked with other charities. I know you do work with other charities, but the whole ethos at the Wolseley Hospitality Group is finding a place where you belong across both your teams and your customers. What role do you see hospitality having in their local communities, and how can corporate social responsibility initiatives help drive this?
I think as a hospitality business, being actively involved in your community by supporting the local charities and partnerships, you can really integrate your business within your surrounding area. And it is also bringing the team and the community together. So, for example, this year we had all our female chefs design a menu for International Women's Day, and we partnered with Women for Women International. So that's a charity to support women, survivors from war and conflict. And that brings the team together because they pride of the menu that they designed that then helps raise funds to support the charity with the women.
And I think that's excellent. And that builds on what you said about Helen as well, doesn't it? That the black cab driver who is Helen there, how many people has he gone out and told in his community about Helen at the Wolseley? Because she's not shy. She doesn't hide the fact of that she came through House of St Barnabas and then us and the support you've given her. So, yeah, that all gets you in the community, doesn't it?
It's the commitment to addressing social issues such as homelessness and that barriers to employment, and that's through strategic partnership with charities like Only a Pavement Away.
So, Janine, how important is equity, diversity and inclusion across your business, and how did you manage to install it without it being seen as a sprinkle the stardust, something I've got to do?
I think it's about, especially hospitality, we have people of all walks of life. And I think that's the driving force behind it. It's not about a quota. It's not about a number. It is about celebrating people from all walks of life, nationalities, all different experience level, really proactively promoting and celebrating their stories throughout the business, you know, through your career pages, through your recruitment channels, and really attracting that diverse and inclusive workforce. But storytelling is the key, both for external, for your employer brand, but also internally for the people that works with you. And by celebrating everybody, all the different achievements of all the different people that works for you, you can really drive your D&I strategy forward.
And so everybody out there thinks, Janine, that people become directors and MDs just because they've got the right academic qualifications. Tell us a bit about how you did your story, because I know that it wasn't the route and the academic career you set out on. So I think it's going to be interesting for the listeners to know, how did you actually go from Janine at university to being the director you are now?
So originally, I graduated as a graphic designer. I'm from South Africa originally. So I worked as a graphic designer post-studies for a year. And then I decided I want to see the world and I want to see all the art museums, all the real artwork, the originals I've studied all the years. So I was just by myself with a backpack, came to the UK, and I started working as a chef in a little hotel called Fern Point Hotel in Inverary. In Scotland. So I worked there for 6 months as a chef. That was a challenge, learning the Scottish accent, being from South Africa and cooking at the same time. We then moved to Glasgow. And I started working in a company called Gordon Hill & Company. So Gordon started his own business. He was the GM for Rugano's, which is an institute in Glasgow. And I worked for him for 2 years. And that's really where I cut sort of my tooth into hospitality. I mean, obviously, as a student, you work part-time jobs here and there. And then moved to London and I started working in Gaucho in Sloane Avenue as a receptionist. And my GM at the time saw something in me and sort of pushed me into assistant management. Loved it. And I sort of at that point, I still had the, I'm going to go back to graphic designing. And then when I stepped into management, it all changed for me. And I was like, I actually do love this. I love hospitality. I love working with the people. And I especially liked, I've always been like nurturing, mentoring, training people. And that's, and that was my route into HR and the people side. So then started the Gaucho Academy, which was well known at the time, revolutionary training program at the time. And then progressed from there. So it was group head of staff training and development. And from there, moved to Prezzo for my first HR director role. And yeah.
I think you're right about hospitality. And I say this to a lot of people, you know, it's, they're a group of people who actually, if they see that someone's got potential, will develop them. You know, and I remember when I started off in Schooner Inns, we had Big Jim, who was a rather large chef. Yeah, and he just sort of said, it's all about giving the people experience. Get that steak, get it on that grill in front of the customers, get it to flame up. You know, peas are all the same colour, chips are always golden, everything's laid out nice on a hot plate, and you've cracked it. You know, and then I think it was when I going over to my mum and dad and saying, you know, the fun was at half past 10 at night, Big Jim would turn around and say to me, Greg, you need to help old George, the guy on the dishwasher, because his teeth had shot in the dishwasher again. So everything had to be turned off while we looked for his dentures, you know. But it was 400 meals on a Friday and Saturday night. And I just thought, I love this industry. There's something about it. And then it just goes all the way through, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's no hierarchy, is there?
No, and I think that's the thing I love about hospitality is everybody's willing to roll up their sleeves and jump in, because if you listen to the stories in hospitality, 90% of people that works in our industry started as a kitchen porter, as a waiter, doesn't matter what the role, and progressed and work through it. I think hospitality is a industry that gives so much.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's about making people happy, really, whether it's serving your guests or your team or the people that works for you. Yeah, it's just a big community.
And it is, for those people out there, the listeners, it's very much, isn't it? Sort of when people say it's low skill, we'll be a barista, you know, get that coffee machine going. And someone said to me, oh, you know, it's low skill. And I said, well, go and be a barista. And then by the time the floor was flooded, you know, and you've seen it on Cook and Dine as well, you know, people who are coming from ops director, MDs, business owners, entrepreneur, they will all say at the end of that day, that was hard work. But what's the date next year? From what you've seen from your team, what do you think is their key driver and what they like to have? And I'm using this personally because obviously as a small charity, then we don't do bonuses, we don't do things like that. What do you think it is that your team are most motivated by?
I think what really drives my team is a sense of pride. So when you do work with these strategic partnerships we have and seeing them, the joy on their face when they place somebody that was homeless, or when they place somebody that's coming through Fair Shot, which is a charity for neurodiversity, and then seeing them succeed, seeing them progress their careers, that's the real driver for them.
Yeah. And I think your team, when I've been in your premises in the Wolsey and your other restaurants that you've got, is it, there's no stigma.
No.
The team are very proud to be involved. They're very keen to include people in their group. There's no stigma at all. And I think that's a shining example to anybody out there who's saying, how are they going to mix in? So, Janine, the other thing that you've been instrumental is that when we first started this, we had a thing called Life Skills Hub, which didn't actually sort of take off, and we had to refine it. And we came up with Passport to Employment. Tell us about that, because you have really been an advocate of Passport to Employment and taster sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. So Passport to Employment is a week-long session run by Will from Only a Pavement Away. And he covers everything from the basics of even budgeting for house to communication skills to interviewing skills. He really supports them help with their interviewing techniques. And then it's held within a venue. So we've hosted Passport to Employment last year, and we've got one coming up in May as well. And the trainees get first-hand experience of what hospitality is like. So by little masterclasses, and it's not even the trainees, it's also your teams get involved, because they would deliver these sessions and they have an opportunity to showcase what they do, the best cocktail maker, the best dish. And then it's followed up with some work experience within the venue. So they really get integrated. And it's also great for your managers to then actually work alongside, with no commitment, the people on the program. And we've hired three off the back of the passport to employment. But it's not, even if you don't hire anybody, it's about being able to get your own team involved, and they feel like they're, it's a, almost like doing a voluntary day. They get to showcase what they do best. You can get your recruitment team involved to help with the interviewing skills. And there's no commitment, but you're still being able to help the charity just in a different way.
And I think you're spot on there. The amount of people who approach us say, I want to volunteer. What do you want to do? Oh, I just want to go out for a day. It's a team building day. And I'm saying, if you really want to do something, then run a passport to employment. Run a taster session. Sit down with people and let them know that this is an exciting industry. There's no better industry. And that you can get a job in it.
Yeah.
Because there are people like you around who are going to give them that opportunity and look past their present situation.
And I think we all got a responsibility in hospitality to advocate for hospitality, and it is really a place for everybody, so why not give the opportunity to showcase that?
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. So I've got some quick fire questions for you, and you're entitled to throw one back at me that I don't know about. So what's your favourite thing about hospitality? I know we've talked a bit about it.
I mean, without being a cliche, but it is the people. Mm. It's that I absolutely love the people that works in hospitality, and it is that sense of community, everybody coming together. Doesn't matter if you the biggest competitors, outside of that we all would work together, we'll eat together.
Yeah. Favorite meal to order at a restaurant?
Ooh, I do love seafood, so I'm gonna have to go with grilled prawns.
Yeah. Best leadership advice you've ever been given, outside of anything where I've helped you with your career?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think the biggest thing I've ever been given is to have empathy and to listen. That's probably the key thing I would say, because that's sort of taken me through my career as well, and always reminding myself, listen and be empathetic.
And if you had the opportunity, what person, hospitality, past or present, would you want to have dinner with?
Oh,
I won't be offended if you don't mention.
Well, apart from you, Greg, but we have dinner all the time.
Yeah, I know.
I'll probably say, and it's not UK-based, but I'll probably say Danny Meyer.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, because I think him or Will Goddara, I think their philosophy on service, on hospitality, it must be fascinating just sitting, having dinner with them and talking through that.
Yeah, they're naturals. I was at Peter Martin Peach 2020 and he had Danny Meyer there, and it was just like,
yeah, you know, I think it's going up 2 hours. Godfather of hospitality.
Really. Yes, he is. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Describe hospitality in one word.
Passion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is, isn't it? You've got to be out there. You've got to be... It's cook and dine. When we do cook and dine, it's just like... Everyone gets there early.
Yeah, but it's from that barista making that perfect cappuccino. It's that chef doing the play. Everybody's passionate about what they're doing, and making sure everybody's got a good time.
Yeah, and it's like with cook and dine, when they're in the kitchen with Tom Aitkins, and people who are coming from different walks, I did the dessert. I've been with a Michelin star.
It's the pride, isn't it?
Yeah, or I've been, you know, the passion when I'm out the front and they're just all queuing up. They all want to be there, don't they? People who are chief execs and MDs, you know, that you and Johanna and Kelly sort of keep us in line with everything. And what guest would you like to hear next on this podcast? Is there someone out there we've forgotten?
Oh, difficult ones today.
I know, yeah.
I'll probably say, just because we spoke to about him, somebody like Paul or Helen.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think people need to hear their stories from them.
Yeah. Because it's never a sob story.
No.
Have you got a question for me then? Go on.
If there's any employer you're not working with currently that you would like to work with, who would that be?
Wow. So it would be great to get into Claridge's or the Ritz or the Savoy. And you have to remember that every person that we put into work, that for every year they work, they add £40,000 to the value of the economy. So the 14 odd years that you've got with your three members, then that amount of money at £40,000 has really helped the economy. And it doesn't matter who you are, what premises you've got out there. If you've got empathy and you want to give someone a chance, you don't have to take loads of them. You can just take one person, but that's one less person who could possibly be going to prison or ending up in a doorway. Everybody out there, thank you for listening. A huge thank you to Janine, who's become, like I said, a personal friend of the family, for joining us for today's episode. To our sponsor, Stonegate, give us a 5-star review out there if you're listening. Subscribe to Apple, Spotify, and whenever you get your podcast, be sure you never miss an episode. And tell your friends and keep your eyes peeled for the next one, because it could actually be one of our members.